Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller. Well, the UW-Whitewater Warhawks football team has an impressive record, and today we're going to be talking about the team, their victories, look ahead to what's in store for the season, and take a look at Division III football with our guest, Kevin Bullis. He's the head coach of the UW-Whitewater Warhawks. He's led the team to countless victories, honors, accolades, and awards. So it's going to be fun talking with him about his team and about Division III football. So, questions. What's the difference between a Division I football and a Division II or III teams? What do you love about football? We'd love to hear from you. I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234 or send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. Again, love to hear from you. And Coach Kevin Bullis, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I'm very excited to be on the radio with you.
Well, thank you so much. Football's been a part of your life your whole life, or how long?
Pretty much so. Ever since being a little kid playing in the church lot next to the home I grew up in, and has continued to be. I went to college to be a history teacher, a social studies teacher, and be a high school coach. And due to an injury my senior year, I had to help kind of start coaching. And I kind of got the college bug at that time and haven't looked back.
Now here you are, 5 years, going into your fifth year, right, with the Warhawks?
Yeah, this will actually be my 12th year on staff. Okay. With the Warhawks, but it's my fifth year as the head coach. So I was able to serve under Lance Leopold for 7 years, and really an honor and a pleasure, and it was an amazing experience for me.
And have you, you've coached elsewhere, or have you been Whitewater all the whole time?
No, I first started, I was a student coach. My first coaching experience was a student coach at the University of Minnesota Morris. And after I got done playing, I was a student assistant and did that for a couple years, and then went to the University of Wisconsin River Falls in 1990. Was a part-time coach for 3 years at UW River Falls. Then I went over to Gustavus Adolphus College in St. Peter, Minnesota. Was there for 2 years. Then went back to River Falls in 95. So I spent 15 years, total of 15 years at UW River Falls before I came here.
So a long time. And, you know, for a coach, I guess that's probably, I don't know if it's normal, but there's a lot of changes that go on in a coach's life from maybe one season to the next, even sometimes in terms of moving to other places and so forth.
Well, you know, in the media and the coaches use the term the coaching carousel. You know, I mean, there's a coaching carousel. There's no doubt the higher level that you get in this profession. And, you know, if you're at the professional level, the NFL, that carousel is much faster and much more changing. As you work down the levels, you'll find that the carousel moves at the Division III level, but it's a great level of sport to be in an educational environment. Philosophically, you'll find a lot of people at our level, there's not as much transition and change.
Let's talk about the Division III level and sort of how it's different from the other levels in terms of the athletes that you have.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the thing that separates us from the Division I's and the Division II's is athletic scholarship. At the Division III level, there's no athletic scholarship, so our players do not get, scholarship meals and dorms and tuition. Our students have to, they pay to go to school just like everybody else that's attending UW-Whitewater and all the Division III institutions. If anything, our athletes, for football, our kids have to report to camp. We just started school today. And so our kids have been here for 3 weeks. And so our kids got to pay, actually, to come into fall camp and help pay for their meals. So it's actually more of an expenditure for our kids. But that's part of what makes it truly beautiful, is our kids have a passion and love for their game that they play, and they're willing to do that.
So you guys have, your teams, the Warhawk teams, have been amazingly successful, I think, over the years. Impressive. You've led the team to an impressive number of victories. And then along with that, all the honors and awards. Talk about some of those stats and accolades.
You know, I think the thing that truly is amazing to me is that, you know, over the years, I've been very blessed to, in the past 12 years being here, have 5 national championship rings. To be a part of something like that is amazing to me. The number of conference championships, I mean, right now we have the conference, we play in the Wisconsin, the WIAC Wisconsin Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. And we have the record for the most conference championships, 36. And our goal this year is to try to make that number 37. And, you know, presently, not that, you know, 99.99% of our players are going to go on and be teachers and businessmen and police officers and doctors and social workers. Those are the things that our 99% do. But we do have a couple guys that are in the NFL right now. And we got Jake Kumerow, who's a wide receiver, who's on roster with the Packers and really starting to make a name for himself. And one of our players from last year, Nate Truen, is on the practice squad for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, I mean, some definite accolades that I think that give an indication of some of the talent level. And you kind of referred to that earlier. You know, what is the difference? I mean, between D1 and D3, there's no doubt with scholarships, the level of player and those types of things, everybody is going to be significantly more athletic, bigger, faster, stronger. But at D3, it's not like we're not athletic. I think Jake and Nate give you great indication of the talent of play, in particular in our conference. The WIAC is the best Division III conference, top to bottom in the country, year in and year out. It's been that way since I've been a part of this league, since 1990 and well before that.
And it's they're fun to watch. I've watched many Warhawk games.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we're so fortunate. I mean, we have an amazing following here. We're typically number one, number two in the country for attendance. Our athletic department does a great job of putting on a great event, and the football game's a part of that event, obviously the centerpiece of it. But, I mean, we'll average some years 9,000, some years 10,000. We've had as many as 17,000 fans in Perkins Stadium. And the tailgate, if we have a when we have a 1 o'clock game, our parking lot is half filled by 9 o'clock in the morning for the tailgate. It's just an amazing experience. The fans come and southeast Wisconsin and northern Illinois, you know, that's really where our Warhawk Nation comes from. And they are a faithful group. And in fact, this weekend when we play, we got a band here as well. We have a concert series for our home games. So there's, it's quite an event. It's quite an event.
I think you're playing Dubuque.
Yeah, we play the University of Dubuque this year, and we played them last year. It was the first year they've been on our schedule, and we open up with them. And they're a very good team, very good program within the Iowa Conference, and they're typically number one or number two in their conference. So it should be a fantastic game.
Talking today with Coach Kevin Bullis, the head football coach at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, kicking off his 5th year as head coach for this season. And it's wonderful to have him with us as we talk about the Whitewater Warhawks and also just about Division III football, maybe versus 2 or 1. And looking forward to hearing from you. If you have a question or a comment, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. One of the things that strikes me about Division III football is these, as you say, the kids are, the students, athletes are not getting any monetary reward for doing this, and they also have to maintain a good academic record.
Oh, not a question, we have NCAA standards, but our university has standards and what they need to be and to be able to be eligible. They have to complete a particular number of credits. They have to carry a particular GPA. And that's something that, that to me is the thing that's beautiful. And 5 years ago, Lance Leipold took the job at the University of Buffalo, which is a Division I program. He took really the entire staff. He offered me an opportunity to go with him. At that time, and I still believe this, I made the right decision to not do. I mean, I could have went there and made more money, not even a question, and been at a very high level of play of the sport. But the thing that kept me here is just what we're talking about, is a group of young men that are playing for the game, for their love of the game. And that, to me, is truly when money exchanges hands, it becomes a business. Scholarships, and it is a business, and revenue is a very important thing. Not that it isn't for us, but it's much more of a business at that level. And I didn't get into this, as I said to you before. I went to school to be a teacher. I went to college to be a teacher. That has never changed for me. Is I'm in this for the teaching. And whether it's football, whether it's basketball, football just happened to be the sport I played in college. And that to me is truly the greatest thing of what we do here. It's all about teaching. And it's about teaching young men how to do things right. It's about helping them make corrections, whether it's on the football field, in the classroom, or even in their life. Because to us, that's ultimately what a teacher teaches. It goes much beyond the classroom. That's the reason I didn't go to Buffalo, is because I wanted it to – I guess I was spoiled. I'd been in Division III coaching, and I really loved that. It fit who I was as a human being. And those are the type of people I hire into my staff, is that people that are consummate teachers. They just teach football. And they teach life, and I know that sounds corny, but it's a fact. It's what we do. If anything, I think that's really kind of our hidden secret of success here, is that we do keep it focused on the teaching and on the development of the young men.
And one of the aspects of that teaching, I think, is, I believe, your leadership in getting the team involved in community service. Tell us about that.
That is, and to me, that's the holistic thing of what we're trying to teach them, is help others, help yourself, help your teammates. To me, that sense of brotherhood in with each other within this team, it's as simple. I mean, this is something I say to our young men, when you're recruiting a young man in a family, you're trying to teach them who you are. And who we are as a program, this sounds very minor, but to me it's really the essence of what we do. Is I'll talk to them about how in this program we're going to hold the door open for somebody. When you come walking up to a building and there's somebody right behind you, hold the door open for them. When you're in a classroom and somebody's pen falls off their desk and rolls over by your feet, you bend down and pick it up and hand it to them with a smile on your face. And when you go to Walmart and it's 15 degrees outside and you run in and grab your gallon of milk and you come out and you hear a car going click, 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 you're going to go knock on the window and say, "Hey, I got jumper cables. I can help you out." It's getting them to understand to help each other. And help others. And once you do that, there's a humbleness. There's a humbleness that develops within a person and an appreciation of what you're doing. And that humbleness is really, to me, is one of the greatest learning concepts. When a person can learn a sense of humbleness and appreciation for others, there's also a learning, it opens them up to greater learning, if that makes sense. And that's the type of environment we build. And again, does that pay off for us on the football field? Not a question it does. I have no doubt in my mind that pays off for us on winning the game. We love winning the game. We love winning the game. But we don't talk about winning the game. We talk about what we need to do to learn and make ourselves better. And in the end, the byproduct will be that scoreboard at the end of the game.
Coach Kevin Bullis, our guest today, head football coach at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. Great to have him with us today as we talk about Division III football and UW-Whitewater Warhawks team. Join in with your own questions or comments. Maybe you've played for UW-Whitewater, or maybe you had a family member play in Division III football. Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Tyler Ditter, our engineer today, Jill Nadeau, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking today with Coach Kevin Bullis, head football coach at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, kicking off his fifth year as head coach this season. So it's great to have him with us today to talk about his team and about Division III football, maybe a little about the differences among the three divisions, 1, 2, and 3, and certainly looking forward to hearing from you. So if you have a question, comment, or maybe an experience to share, I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And let's take a call. Kurt in Wind Point, thank you for calling. What can we do for you today?
I simply wanted to thank Kevin for bringing up the kindness and the willingness to help people, whether they're in a parking lot or on the playing field, whether they are a competitor or a neighbor or a friend or a stranger that you don't know. The importance of just giving to others, being a true teammate is helping your team win, and being a brother or a sister to your teammates, but bringing that to your neighborhood, your school, your parking lot, wherever you are, that is such an important thing, and I'm glad coaches are bringing that up and holding that up to their players as an important element as they go out beyond the sport. Thank you.
Yes, Kurt, thank you very much. Coach Bullis, comment.
No, thank you, Kurt. I really appreciate that comment from Kurt, Larry. I mean, that is, you know, I guess I go back to my parents and many other people that impacted my life. And this may sound selfish, but in a lot of ways, the person that gives gains more. I truly believe that, and that sounds selfish, but in all reality, the person that gives and cares about others truly gains more. I mean, I can tell you a story that to me is really impactful of our team. Last year, during the course of our season, as a head coach, I don't coach a position. I coach the nose guards on our punt return. That's it. My coaches coach all the positions, but what I do is take care of the learning environment. And I'm in a constant state of doing everything I can to enhance our learning environment, make changes and adjustments needed to make it better. And one of the things I noticed during a couple of our practices early in the season is I started getting a feeling that this might have been the best practicing team I'd ever been around. And there is no doubt how you practice will be how you play on Saturday. It is a clear and direct correlation. There's not even a question of how you practice will be what you get on Saturday. And I've been really fortunate. Again, I've had got five national championships rings at home and numerous wins to say the least. And I'd been around some great practicing teams, and I couldn't figure out why did I feel like this particular team, the 2018 team, was the best practicing team I'd been around. And I couldn't put my finger on it, and it kept on coming back to me. I thought I was just being a pure optimist. And finally it hit me one day. And it was about the 11th game of the season. We were in the national playoffs. One of our linebackers made a drop into coverage on a pass play, made an amazing play and a catch, an interception. And our whole sidelines went nuts. I mean, went wild like it was a game. I mean, their enthusiasm in that practice was like a game. And later on in that practice, one of our wide receivers made a one-handed catch. And I don't like one-handed catches. I want to use two hands. But it was one of those where he truly had to use only one hand. That was the only way he was going to have a shot at it. Same thing happened. Our players are screaming, their chest bumping, their fist bumping. I mean, the energy, and that was it. Is I go, my God, the energy that we have in every single practice, it's like a game. It's like we are in the game. It's the energy on like that we have on a Saturday. So at the end of the season, I have individual meetings with each one of our players. We have 108 players on our roster. And so I meet with all of them individually at the end of the season. And I was meeting with Alex Pete, who's our tailback. He's preseason All-American this year. Alex is a very stoic, kind of quiet young man. And I said to Alex, I told him that story. And I said, Alex, why was there so much cheering? Why was there so much enthusiasm in a practice? And he kind of tilted his head looking at me like, Coach, you don't get it. And he goes, Coach, and he didn't say that, but the way he tilted his head, I was like, what the heck? And he goes, Coach, it's because we love each other. We love each other. How can you not be so happy for your brother to make that play? And that's quote unquote. And how can you not be so happy for your brother and be thrilled for him? And that's what it is. It's ultimately love. Is what you're developing is love and appreciation for each other. And he goes, every guy in that room, we all love each other. Yeah, and they're different guys. They're different people. We have young men on our team that come from a completely different socioeconomic. We have the spectrum socioeconomically in our locker room. I mean, we have young men that come to camp and they'll be driving a Mercedes-Benz. We have other young men that come to camp and the family does not even own a car. It's not even an option for them. And that's the beauty of it is. I mean, we have the spectrum of men in our room and they come from all different angles of life and races, and it's fantastic to see that come together. And again, it develops the type of environment that is the best learning environment. That's what it's all about, is developing that. When you have that appreciation, there's no distractions in the way. There's not this guy doesn't like that guy, and that's going to be a distraction to their learning. It's about minimizing the distractions to their learning, because that is the ultimate and most important thing that we do.
And that's how you are developed. I mean, as a coach, you've got to be the person that's developing that sort of mindset.
That is my job, is to set the course for our staff. As I say to our staff, fellows, think of me as the riverbanks. I'm the riverbanks. I'm going to set the riverbanks for you guys. You guys as a staff got to fill in the middle. You filling in the flow, you're filling in the detail that's in there. And so for us to stay philosophically consistent, anything that is philosophically inconsistent, I need to correct it. I need to fix it. I need to make it better. And I need to see it. That's the most important part, Larry, is that I need to see that that's happening. And that may be the toughest challenge of it all, is seeing that, boy, I see a distraction there. And I've ignored it, or I hadn't noticed it prior. And then whatever that may be, it might be a player standing off to the side and he's a little sullen and quiet that day. It might be just me walking up to him and saying, hey, how you doing today? What's going on in your life? You're not acting like yourself. And it could be as simple as fixing a drill that one of our coaches is running. And maybe instead of doing it this way, we adjust it and do it that way, and we're getting better reps and more efficiency. It's all about seeing those things and then being able to obviously make the correction.
And it might be a girlfriend problem, or it might be there's a test coming up, and I'm worried about that test.
Not even a question, Larry. I mean, that's funny. What you're talking about right now is what I talked to the team about last night. As I said, fellas, tomorrow is going to, you know, during fall camp, it is just football. I mean, they start because there's no classes for the kids during our fall camp. So now they're, you know, they're up at 6:45 in the morning eating breakfast, and they're in a series of events and meetings and practice during the course of the day, and the day ends at 9:30. Well, that's what we've had since August 14th. Well, today is going to be different. They now have to go to their bio lecture class. Now they're going to go to their English 102 class. They got to be able to now not let that ultimately, yes, you're going to go to class and you're going to take notes like a son of a gun in there. You're going to break a sweat taking notes. But then when you come to our meetings, and our first meeting starts at 2:25 today, put that stuff, you know, in your locker. You know, in theory, put it in your locker, leave it in your locker. All those things from the classes and different things that happen to you, girlfriend issues, whatever it may be. But then it's about focusing on our environment. And then at 6 p.m., you go back to your locker and you pull out those things that you got to take care of in your life. And that means reading chapter 15 in your sociology class. That means rewriting your notes. That means getting that math assignment done. Call your girlfriend and see if you can straighten up the issue. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, like we tell them, so you do not ignore the other parts of your life. You need to put them in their places so you can prioritize them and take care of them. And that may be one of the biggest things that we teach them, is to try to be in the present of where you're at today. And that's the same thing sitting in the biology class. They should not be worrying about the game on Saturday. They should not be worrying about practice when they're sitting in their biology class. They need to be in the present. They need to be writing notes and breaking a sweat writing notes and learning everything they can. And if there's a really simplistic, you know, one of the many skills we try to teach that may be the most important, many of them important, but this one may be teaching them to be in the present of managing where they're at. And if where they're at is going home for the weekend and sitting down at the table with mom and dad, then be in the present there. Take care of that. Take care of being a son. Take care of being the best grandson you can be. And don't worry about those other pieces. You know, you'll have times when you need to take care of them and being able to know how you take care of them.
I'm just a great philosophy in my mind. We have a situation where you're a D3 coach, but you want to get the best players you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you, what's the whole process of selecting, you know, figuring out who can we get that's going to be the best for our program, and then how do we approach families and so forth?
I tell you, Larry, you opened a can of worms. You got a half hour. I'll obviously accommodate our time, but yeah, so just to give you an idea, it's a fantastic question. I mean, it's something that's really evolved over time on how we manage that. So in all reality, we started, I'll tell you, last February, in early February, we concluded our recruiting class for 2019. So the freshmen that are on our campus today, we concluded that process on most part with our commitments and knowing who's coming in. We have a limited roster, so we're limited to 108, so we got to be very selective, Larry. We have to be very selective in our process. Due to our successes, our traditions of success, we get a lot of great interest from many talented young men in that process. So in last February, at the end of February, we started our recruiting process for 2020. And yeah, no kidding. It starts a whole year ahead. At the Division I level, they're starting another year ahead. They're 2 years ahead of us, or 1 year ahead of us, excuse me, but 2 years ahead of graduation. So for us, it's a one-year process. We're going to look at, in this day and age, due to the Internet, is young men make highlights of their highlight films from high school, and then they send them out to coaches. And we can find them on the Internet. And so we'll literally, on that end of February, we first start out by contacting high school coaches and see who they recommend. And so we'll contact, we recruit Southeast Wisconsin and Northern Illinois. That is, you know, basically 90% of our team is going to come within a 150-mile, 200-mile radius. So we'll contact every high school within that radius, which is a lot of high school. It's a densely populated area.
Yeah.
And then coaches will give us the recommendations. Then we're going to go look at that film. We're going to go find the film on the young man. If we can find it, we'll contact the young man to make a highlight film, or we'll contact the coach to get access to film, and then we can evaluate them. And so then we'll evaluate. By the time we hit, so we started in February. By the time we hit the end of June, we've evaluated over 3,000 athletes.
Oh, boy.
So our staff will, so our D-line coach will evaluate his D-line portion. Our quarterback coach will, his quarterback group, you know, down the list. Our coaches, then after that point, they make a hierarchy of basically a ranking of saying, here's my top, here's my, you know, one to many, let's put it that way. They'll rank them. Then it's personal contact. It's all about developing relationships with, you know, what we do is sales. And it's, everybody's got, a lot of people have a very good widget. But when it comes down to developing a relationship, maybe the biggest piece that impacts a young man and his family to want to come to your place. And so we really want that relationship and develop that with a young man. It starts out with a phone call and text messages and then getting them on our campus. So we had our first group of young men that were 2020 grads came onto our campus in May. And then we had another group come in during the summer. Again, we're very selective. It's an invite thing. Then during the – so – typically, our goal is to have a recruit visit us three times, one summer visit, one fall visit for a game. So they'll come to a game day event and watch a game and learn more about us. And then the third visit typically happens in December, January, and next thing you know, it's February. And we've narrowed it down to basically 40 young men. I mean, when you think about it, there's 3,000 young men on that database that we've looked at film and evaluated. And when it comes down to early February, we're going to have 40 young men that are going to be committed to coming to play football for us and go to our school.
Man, what a process. Phil in Mount Horeb has something for us. Hi, Phil.
I was very drawn in by your description of the culture that you try to create in your coaching group and in your team. And I was a elementary school youth soccer coach, and I tried to develop a sense of playing with vigor, with effort, and with honor in my players, and it sounds like you do very much the same thing. I really believe in treating other people as you would like to be treated. And I've been feeling like our performance in the women's soccer championships that recently transpired, where the Americans played the ties and ran up the score without substituting, you know, second level players in, was an atrocious, it wasn't what I wanted our picture internationally of American women to be. And I understand that other people feel like, well, these are big girls. They can, you know, grin and bear it or take it on the ear or whatever they want to do. But I still didn't think that exemplified the best of human behavior. Some people said, well, they should do it because, you know, it increases our rankings or our visibility or even, you know, the overall score, as they called it. I would like to have you give us your take on that performance and whether or not you carry that into your games with your players and coaches.
Well, that's a great question, Phil. I think that's a question that each head coach, whatever sport it is, whatever level it is, you got to have a philosophical basis for why you do what you do. And I think it's unfortunate when I really can't speak to the women's soccer team. I really can't speak to that one. I don't know a lick about soccer, and I don't know how they do their rating system, their ranking system. It's unfortunate if the ranking system is causing that, because that, to me, there's a problem with the ranking system to a bit. But I do get that there's points are evaluated. So, I mean, that gets to be a horns of dilemma in all reality. That is a horns of a dilemma because I know for us, I don't look at it that way. Now, I'm going to be candid. I'm going to be forthright. Have we had scores where we've beaten teams by a lot of points? Yes, we have. I'm not going to say we haven't. But I do know for myself, I want, you know, going into this first game of the season, I want to get us the most reps that we can learn and get better as a team. But I know I also don't want, in the game of football in particular, you got to be careful. You keep your starting quarterback on the field too long. You keep any of your starters on the field too long. If the score is such that the opponent can't catch you, I want to get to a point where I'm going to say, all right, my cost benefits could get a little too much here. So I know typically, you know, we're not trying to run up the score on people, but we will rotate and we'll bring in our seconds or we'll bring in our thirds. Our goal is if we can have a score, I would like every player to play in that game if the score is that big of a separation. You know, so I mean, there's health, there's learning, there's all those things that come into play. Now, I'll be candid here. I'm not going to tell my quarterbacks to not run there. If I put my third quarterback on the field, I want our offensive coordinator is going to run our offense. If it's third and seven, he's going to throw the ball. We're going to get a first down. Why? Because that's important for that third team quarterback and that third offensive, you know, players that are on that field to experience first down, second down. I'm not going to handcuff them. I'm going to let them learn how to play their game because a year from now, those guys might be starting for me. So they, you know, so some people might get upset with me and say, well, you should have ran the ball, coach, when it was third and seven. No, now it's about learning. Now it's about learning. And I'm not trying to run up the score. That's why I put my thirds in, if that makes sense. But that's my philosophical take on it. Each coach really has to take, that's something that each one of us figures out, the costs and benefits of what fits our program. But my goal is not to put 70 points on people, and embarrass anybody, because that is not what this is about. Because once we lose track of that, well, we've lost track of what it's all about then. And we're teaching the wrong thing. It's not about embarrassing or insulting anybody. If anything, I mean, this is one of the things I said to the team last night. It's all about respect. It's about respecting your game. It's about respecting your opponent. It's about respecting the people that played it prior to you, the man that lined up across from you. It's all about having respect for that. And disrespect serves as a distraction to learning. Disrespect is a distraction to learning. And again, you hear me say that, I sound like a broken record, but that is what it's all about, is learning. And we got to keep everything focused on that.
Well, Coach Bullis, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Maybe there's some parents listening today of kids that might be thinking about going to Whitewater to play football, or maybe just going to see a game. And I think they probably are going away from our conversation with a pretty good feeling about you and UW-Whitewater. I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
I'll tell you, Larry, that those that 45 minutes flew by, and really enjoyed it myself. It was really a pleasure getting a chance to, I guess, meet you over the phone, but and spend some time with you and your crowd.
Well, Coach Willis, I'll look you up at one of the games and shake your hand. Thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry.
Coach Kevin Bullis, the head football coach at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. Pleasure talking with him. So he's coaching at the college level. We're going to switch gears a bit and talk about the world of high school football next on this sports segment. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network.
Here's a look at what's coming up this afternoon here on the Ideas Network. At 12:30 on Chapter a Day, Norman Gilliland reads from The Williamson Turn by P.F. Kluge. Then join us from 1 till 3 for 1A. After 1, how do we fix the high demand for low-skill workers? After 2, engineers can help save the earth. And stay with us after 3 for Central Time, all here on the Ideas Network.